RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com. And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Let Camp Cabela's help get you ready for your next great camping adventure at Cabela's.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are reflecting on our top RV travel highlights from 2016.
From Charleston to Acadia to Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, it was pretty hard to narrow down our picks, but we chose our best of the best and hopefully will inspire your travel in the year ahead.
You might think New Year's is a time to make resolutions for the year ahead, but we know that it's just as important to celebrate the highlights of 2016. You are listening to episode number 122, Top Travel Highlights of 2016.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, Top Travel Highlights of 2016, it's time for our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can get the perfect amount of coverage wherever you roam around the United States, with packages available for seasonal use and for full-timers. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
And if you pick up a new RV at that Florida RV Super Show in Tampa, you want to get the Progressive Insurance to go along with it.
And all the menu item of particulars, too. Personal effects, etc.
Pet insurance.
Yes.
Now, it's the 32nd year of the Tampa, Florida RV Super Show, and we think it is the best RV show in the country because it's kind of wild and crazy and fun, and it has a festival-like atmosphere. So, Stephanie, when is it?
Okay, so from January 18th through the 22nd, that's a Wednesday through a Sunday. Okay, it's at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. You can camp on site right now. It's only the dry camping that's available anymore. Any of the hookups are sold out. They also have daily seminars. There's over 450 vendors, right? So if you're one of those people that likes to shop for RV stuff, you can do that here. And there's more than 1,400 RVs across 26 acres.
26 acres plus great entertainment, live music. There's like pipe bands. There's Teddy Roosevelt impersonators. There's RVFTA. It's $10 per ticket. Kids 16 and under are free. I think they should be charging the teenagers, but they let them in for free.
They know they're getting dragged along with their parents.
And admission is good for a second day. Okay. So if you buy one day's admission, you can come back in for another day. The Super Rally is sold out, but dry camping is available for $20 a night. It's a bargain.
And I'm linking to the Super Rally webpage where it gives also like links to hotels in the area that have discounted rates for, you know, RV show attendees.
Yeah. And we're going to set up a time to meet podcast listeners. We haven't done that yet. We'll announce it on social media, on the forum, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're going to be meeting with everybody from the rally at breakfast in the morning. They have free coffee and donuts. If you signed up to camp for the rally, they have free coffee and donuts in the morning at the breakfast tent for the rally. And we will be there with the boys for donuts in the mornings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday
morning.
Some
people travel across the country for the free coffee and donuts. Now, on our forum, a lot of people are talking about going. And just the other day, somebody from Minneapolis said they're going.
Wow.
Yeah. So people drive all over the country to get to the RV Super Show.
If you're
going to
drive for an RV show, this is definitely the one to do.
This is the one to do. Now, if you're a Jersey person or a person from the Northeast, we are going to be doing 3 days worth of seminars at the Atlantic City RV Show. It's February 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think that Monday's President's Day.
Mm-hmm. So you have a day to recover.
You can recover from all that shopping and from all those awesome seminars that you listen to. So we'll be doing three different seminars and repeating them. 12 Reasons Why RV Vacations Are Better, which RV is right for me, and 10 amazing campgrounds in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Maybe we'll make it a baker's dozen.
Yeah. Oh, you wanna upgrade to 12. You never like to be like cut off at 10. You're always like, one more bonus. I just can't choose between it. You
I
even
like those
did
BuzzFeed
it tonight.
Articles, 47 reasons why RV travel is better.
Yeah, you just think you stand out if it's an odd number. I don't know. I might keep you to 10. We'll see how it goes with
the
plan.
We are more than halfway there on our Tents for Troops fundraiser. Now, what we're trying to do is raise $10,000 to purchase a brand new travel trailer to keep at a campground permanently, and active duty troops and their families will be able to come and use that trailer for weekends
for free
and to spend time in the great outdoors. Now, we've stalled a little, but we have been getting some more donations recently, so we need those $5, $10, and $20 donations.
Last week, we really said to people, look, it just really is about the small donation if all of our listeners chip in. We know the numbers. We know that if everybody was just pitching in that $5 or $10, we could buy this trailer tomorrow. We could hit that $10,000 mark. If just the people who listen on the first day this podcast is released were hitting that $10 mark, we could buy this trailer. So I was really happy because last week we really did get some of those $5, $10, $20 donations.
We were thrilled to see them.
And a big shout out to all of you that did that. Because it was like you listened to us. You were like, okay, yeah, I have $5. I can donate $5. And you did that. And if more people do that, it's going to make the difference. I keep thinking about listening to the NPR pledge drives like on my commute for years. I listened to NPR in the morning. And I would all week long be like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. I should donate. I listen to this every single morning. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then like half the time I'd listen to the entire pledge drive. And then I'd be like, oh, I still forgot to donate. So I'm just really hoping that there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you just haven't done it
yet. And if you want to get generous at the $50 or $100 mark, at $50, we'll send you an RVFTA bumper magnet. And at $100, we will send you a never worn RVFTA t-shirt and the bumper magnet.
Yeah. And we got an email from somebody today saying that they loved the t-shirt. It was so soft and it fit really nicely.
And never worn.
And it looked new. It really did look brand new.
So they were like surprised. They got a new t-shirt.
It was like they were really sure. So yeah, we did get compliments on the t-shirt. All
now,
right.
In a second, we're going to come back with our feature topic, our top travel highlights of 2016. We're breaking it down into some interesting sections this time. First, we're going to do shared highlights, you know, ones that Stephanie and I both picked because we each made our list and then we compared. So first, we'll do shared highlights. Then we'll do Stephanie's individual highlights, my individual highlights. We'll do Max, Theo, and Wes's travel highlights, and we'll do some listener highlights because we asked you on social media what some of your best travel moments were, and we got a lot of nice responses.
We did, and I want our listeners to know right now, you are going to have to stay tuned to the very end of this episode if you want to hear what our announcement for 2017 is. We mentioned in a social media post this week that we have something new on the horizon for 2017 because that's how we roll.
Stephanie's not pregnant, by the way.
And it's not a new podcast.
But it is something new and it is something exciting.
Yeah.
And our listeners always listen to the end.
Yeah.
I know they do because they always talk about our endings.
Oh, and we get lots of comments. Fake podcasts and everything.
Fake? Nothing
right.
fake about
nothing
that.
Fake. Right.
So listen, stay tuned. We'll be back with our travel highlights from 2016. And it is a great, inspiring list that's going to make you want to start planning some trips. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to start our feature topic, which is our top travel highlights of 2016. First, we're going to do shared highlights that made it onto both Stephanie's list and my list. But first, it is time for a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. When you choose Thetford Specialty Chemicals to winterize and protect your RV, you will have peace of mind knowing that you used the best. Thetford provides everything you need for holding tank maintenance. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
Let's dive right in to our top four shared highlights. These made it onto both of our lists. We wrote our lists up separately in two separate notebooks, mine in my moleskin. Stephanie, are they moleskins or moleskines?
Moleskins.
They're spelled with an E at the end, like Moleskine.
No.
Okay, Moleskines, because we're both very retro, very analog. And Stephanie did hers in her own green Moleskine notebook. Then we compared and we found that we each had four that were on both of our lists. So first, Twinsburg. Twins Days in Twinsburg, Ohio last August was really special and really fun.
Yeah, and maybe not for the reason that – I don't know if we picked it for different reasons. I think that this certain event really represented, you know, that kismet of travel for me. And a couple of different things, both that and then also where both adult fun and kid fun intersect. And I think that those are two big themes for me in travel.
Why the kismet? What do you mean by that?
So, you know, we really do a lot of planning when we travel, and we recommend people do that too. There's some people that are like, oh, we just go from place to place and we let, you know, the universe guide us. And we actually believe that people might say that that's the best way to travel, but they really miss out on a lot of things. Why? Because you might go, oh, look, it's that and that museum, and how awesome is that? And then you realize it's closed on that day. You know, like, it just really does pay, in my perspective, to really do some planning in advance, because you do find out about things and you're like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought to do that, or talking to locals in the area. And this is an example of that. We showed up at the Cleveland South KOA,
the Cleveland Streetsboro KOA.
And we had no idea that this was going on at all. We actually had a weekend planned for with other activities.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for instance, which we didn't make it there.
Yeah, and the National Park, that's right, near there, too. Like, we were really excited for a short little time in Cleveland, and we were visiting friends. And as soon as we heard from somebody at the campground.
Well, it wasn't hearing. As soon as we saw twins walking all over the campground, I was like, there's twins in the pool. There's a group of twins playing volleyball. Like, there's like eight twins on each team.
Yeah.
There's twins getting ice cream in the camp store. I'm like, what on earth is going – what is in the water around here?
Right.
Then I saw on the big sign, welcome everyone for Twins Days at Twinsburg.
And I just thought that that was like the campground. You know how campgrounds do themes? Like, I kind of thought the campground was doing a theme, but somebody told you, no, this is event.
And they were like –
we had both read about that in National Geographic.
It was in National Geographic
years ago.
Everybody's written about Twins Days. It's been in every major publication. And here we are, like 8 miles away and a pretty flexible schedule on hand. So we went and we had fun. Now, you went all deep on it. I was more thinking about the funnel cake and the talent show.
And the twin pops. That was like the best giveaway ever, right?
Yeah. Free twin pops all day. And the talent show was so good.
The talent show was fantastic. And I just think it just captured Max and Theo's imagination to see these identical twins. Because, of course, there are more identical twins at this event than you normally see. And my boys know so many twins, but most of them are fraternal. And, you know, that's just like a statistics thing. And for them to see all these identical twins up there on stage performing, I think they were just like, oh my gosh, like they could picture themselves doing something like that.
There's the parade where all the twins get dressed up in matching costumes or similar costumes or themed costumes. And then all day long, a lot of people stay in their costumes. So we got pictures of the boys with two Thors. We got pictures with stormtroopers, with
angels.
These two angels, these guys that were probably in their 70s that were both dressed up with angels with halos over their heads. This is a slice of Americana, and it was definitely one of our travel highlights.
And I also think, I just want to add one more thing to that. I think that it really made a very lasting and deep impact on them in a meaningful way, because I have to say that being twins is not always easy. And I think from very early on, our boys have been used to people like asking them to them what are weird questions when they first meet them. Like, people are always like, are you twins? Like, that's one of the first things that people say to them. And I remember, like, from the age, they're 1, 2, 3 years old, and they just kind of stare at strangers when they ask that. Like, I don't know you, and I don't know why you're asking me this. Like, it's so weird to them.
Because people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
They want to talk about them being twins. But it's kind of like walking up to a woman and saying, are you a woman? I mean, it's like so obvious.
For them, they're just
twins.
Like, so I feel like for most of their life, they kind of felt a little bit like embarrassed, and like it was giving them a little bit of attention that they weren't quite happy with. They were not ever thrilled when people were like asking them about being twins. This year there was a real shift in that in school. Like all of a sudden they were like joking about switching, you know, their seats in class or like fooling people about who they were. And I really feel like that moment happened when they were at Twinsburg. Like they realized, hey, this is fun and this is a good thing. And I think they owned it in a way after that trip. I believe that.
They found their people.
Yeah.
All right. Our second shared travel highlight, and actually the next two are both Cape Cod. And Stephanie and I just have an incredibly soft spot in our hearts for Cape Cod. Out of all of the places we've traveled to, you know, Acadia might be more magnificent. The Great Smoky Mountains might be much better for outdoor adventure. But Cape Cod owns our hearts. So the next two.
We have a great time when we go to Cape Cod.
And so both of these were related to a magazine assignment we did for Trailer Life. So we got to do some pretty cool stuff. When you're on assignment, this is what happens. Whale watching. The whale watching was magnificent. I cannot believe how much fun I had running from side to side of the whale watching ship, trying to get photos of the whales and watching these whales jump out of the water. They were beautiful. They were magnificent.
This was a really special experience for us as a family because I think that, you know, we talk about the amount of money you spend doing different activities when you're traveling and how it can really add up. And you're always like trying to decide whether to do that big spend activity, and whale watching can be that, you know. So for years we didn't do it because we didn't know if the boys were old enough to really appreciate it or if somebody was going to get seasick when you go out real far. And we did other things instead of going out, you know, deep in a boat. And I've just wanted to go. I haven't been in decades and I wanted to go so badly again. And this time I was just like, this is what we're going to do. And this is an example of what I think we learned this year. When you do those big spends on the right things, it's so worth it.
Yeah, it was off the coast of Provincetown. The whales were out like crazy that day. The boat was only about half full, so we had good visibility. A lot of people told us, oh, the boat's usually much more packed.
It was a morning time.
Well, we got the earliest time.
We went to on the early trip, and they said
that's always one
that
of our travel
the
tips.
Afternoon trip will be three times as full. That's what they told us as we were getting off. Three times as full.
And in terms of getting pictures and just seeing the whales, it made a huge difference. You could tell that if the boat had been more full, it might have been a stress and a struggle to see the whales.
And this was also with a company that was educational and that stressed conservation lessons. We were out on that boat. And that's another lesson that we've learned a lot, is that these companies that are involved in conservation efforts and in education efforts in the local area, man, do they have an impact on our kids. And we have another example of that later on in our shared, you know, memories too.
Yeah, so. But next, let's stay on Cape Cod for a minute. Art's Dune Buggy Tours, which also left from Provincetown, and they take you out. You can do sunrise or sunset, I believe, but we did sunset with them. They take you out to the beach, and you have wine there. You have cheese and crackers. The boys had ginger ales. We set up beach chairs. We watched the sun drop below the horizon. It was magnificent. It was gorgeous. There were dozens and dozens of seals swimming right at the edge of the water. It was really a perfect night.
Yeah, they have exclusive access to the dunes out there, to drive on the dunes. Nobody else can do that. And you go out there and they take you on the tour and they tell you about the history. And then you can either pack your own stuff, which was awesome, or which is what we did too. We had a cooler, wine, etc. Or you can order through them so that you can order like a whole dinner, a sushi dinner. What they have different options. And then you sit there. They bring you chairs and they set it up and you can sit there and eat dinner. And it just is, again, one of those special things. You will always remember it. Our boys will always remember that dune tour.
Yeah, the drive through the dunes is equally as magnificent as the actual sunset on the beach. So another, you know, another thing that costs a little bit of money, but really recommended and really worth it. Next, the Salt Marsh Kayak Tour, just outside of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with Black River Outfitters. It launches near Huntington Beach State Park, and Richard and Paul are the two best kayak tour guides on planet Earth. I cannot possibly imagine anyone being better than those guys at giving an educational kayak tour.
If I could make our listeners do something, right? Like, because we do give a lot of travel recommendations and we know people listen to some of them and they don't listen to others. And if I could make our listeners do anything when they go to either the Charleston area or the Myrtle Beach, because you can get to these very easily from the Charleston area too. It's not a long drive.
It would be less than it would be under 40 right. minutes, 45 minutes from Charleston.
Exactly. So if you are in either of those areas, please do a tour with the Black River Outfitter Company. these people are special people, and they not only cater to like the adults in the group, like Jeremy and I, who are learning something every single minute and just enjoying the beauty and the immense, like, just experience of it all. Like, you're sitting there, you're going, oh, this is one of those things. This is an experience, a travel highlight. But also the boys, like, you know, Richard introduced
them. He tells corny kid jokes.
Yes. And he like introduced them to the laughing gulls and was like, you know, it's hard to get them to laugh. You have to tell funny jokes.
Yeah, I was telling jokes all afternoon then.
Knock, knock jokes. And, you know, like those kinds of things. And he said, this is the age that you get them. You know, he says that. And we go, Richard, we know. And he just knew that. He knew that second grade, third grade, fourth grade, you bring kids out there and you show them the world.
Well, we paddled right up to Huntington Beach State Park, which was unfortunately closed because of the hurricane. And Richard paddled right up to the causeway and was talking to the park rangers and talking about the birds with the park rangers. And these are the types of experiences that we're giving the boys that are making them want to be, you know, they say they want to be park rangers right now, for goodness sake. Richard also took us right up to alligators. I mean, we were kayaking within 5 to 6 feet of alligators, which I'll be honest,
yeah, we
it
were
made
like,
me a little nervous. And Richard, the guy that came with Richard, leaned over and told me, he's like, I could jump out and swim here right now, yeah, as long as I don't get too close.
Yeah.
Now, I do not recommend that to anyone.
No,
but apparently it's completely safe to kayak around the alligators as long as you keep a little bit of distance.
They're skittish. So that old refrain, like they're more scared of you than you are of them, it is actually true. They are very skittish. They will, if you make sudden movements, they definitely will just disappear as opposed to coming at you. It's only if they obviously felt cornered and threatened that they would attack. And nobody has ever been killed by an alligator in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Hand to God. I think I'm right. And I double checked that fact.
I was also just thinking, like, you're kind of like an alligator. Like, you only attack when
I'm cornered and threatened.
When you're cornered and threatened.
Don't do it. Don't do it, people. Now you've been warned.
So those are our shared highlights. Those are things that were on both of our lists. We're going to come back in a second after a quick break, and we'll do Stephanie's top five and my top five. And they're both totally different. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our 2016 travel highlights. We're going to do Stephanie's personal picks and Jeremy's personal picks. But first, it is time for a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's is passionate about supporting families in the outdoors, and they have all the gear you need to make camping fun and comfortable. Some of the best moments of our lives are spent around a crackling campfire, sitting beside family and friends. Visit Cabela's.com and start making memories that will be treasured for generations. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
And boy, oh boy, do I treasure all of these memories from 2016. It was definitely one of our two best years of RV travel.
And before we dive into my personal picks, I do want to mention to everybody that we have three different Trailer Life articles that have not been published yet. And they will all include information about these trips that we're going to be talking about. Three trips that appear on our list are Charleston, Myrtle Beach, and Cape Cod.
So they're literally in the history of Trailer Life magazine. There has been no better time to subscribe than right now.
You're going to get
because
three.
We've got three articles coming out in the next 6 months or so.
And an Around the Bend on Scudic Woods Campground. So there's actually a fourth one that's stuck in there,
yeah,
too.
I've been enjoying the heck out of my Trailer Life subscription, by the way. So go and subscribe. Okay, so Stephanie's personal picks, her top five travel highlights of the year. We start in Charleston.
Yeah, well, I started there because that was our first big trip of this year. And I really had a good time on the food tour that I took there, the specific food tour. But then also, I just had fun eating in Charleston. And, you know, I don't know if I get too analytical about these things, about why I have the memories that I have. But I do know that one of the reasons why I loved the Charleston food tour in particular was that we started to really pay attention to trying each of us to enjoy some individual pursuits as we're traveling. So that's always been something that's been important to us as a couple. We're not always good at it, but we know we need to do it. And like, you've been going off to do your photography or, you know, take an independent tour. four or something like that.
I did photography right in Charleston on that trip of the fountains. And
right.
It was great. So when you're traveling as a couple with kids, you know, if there's something you can't do with the kids, let your spouse go do it and then just take your own turn later on something.
Yeah, definitely take turns. And we did that in Charleston, and you did some sunset photography and I did this food tour, and we both had a fantastic experience at those. So that really, you know, hit the top of my list. It was also one of the first times that the boys, the older two at least, Max and Theo, were really old enough to enjoy great food. And they were like going on and on about certain places. And I love that because I love good food. So that really struck a nerve.
And it probably, you know, I don't know if it gets better in America than Charleston for food. I mean, if you're a foodie, if you're a foodie and you own an RV, get yourself to Charleston.
Yeah, it's definitely up there, I would think, among destinations. But, you know, you're going to have people that go crazy and say, what are you talking about? New Orleans, what are you talking about? Wine country.
There's an element of subjectivity to it. Right. What's your second travel highlight of 2016?
All right, I had to put in the next trip that I took was the Go Girl Go event at Blackwater Falls State Park in Wild West Virginia.
Wild, wonderful, West by God, Virginia.
You were missing something. Wild.
Wild, wonderful, West by God, Virginia. I think I got a lot more of it than you did. Janine Pettit will remind us.
All
now,
right.
I'm a little disturbed that your first two travel highlights of the year, I was not with you. But wow. I'm going to deal with that.
Okay.
So why did you have so much fun on the girl camping trip?
Well, first of all, this was the very first time I've ever gone on a girl camping trip. And this was also the first time that I've ever been on one of these formal events. I've never been to one of them before. And I'm going to be honest, that was tons of fun and I had a blast. And it was really nice to I met so many podcast listeners there, which I wasn't expecting. Like I was thinking, oh, I'm going to a girl camping event. They don't. And I got there and it was like, they listened to our podcast. And that was really a delightful surprise. And it was nice. But really, spending 6 hours alone in the car was the highlight for me of this trip, because I'm going to tell you, and I think that this is fair, and I think that more women, you know, need to embrace the fact that it's okay for us once we're moms to realize that like a certain part of us might die, you know? And I was always such a big road tripper. I would drive all by myself 11 hours from college in Michigan home.
Dozens of times.
Get out, get gas, jump back in the car and go again. I loved driving. I loved playing the music loud. I just loved it. And that is not something that I've done in so many years. And I am telling you, it was like no time at all had passed. I was in that car driving 6 hours. It went by in a blink of the eye.
She put on Omaha by the Counting Crows.
I did. I did a social media post.
She settled into her groove right away.
Oh, so much fun. I love it.
All right. The next one I'm really glad you put on your list, because I'll confess, I forgot about this. And it was absolutely one of my highlights too. So I was thrilled that you included it and that you made me remember, because it was one of the best things we did all year. So what was number three for you?
All right. So we went to Hyde Park, and this is a national historic site. And this year was the, you know, National Park's 100th anniversary. And it was a big celebration and, you know, hoop-de-loo and everything. But a lot of people only think about the 52, you know, national parks when they think about that 100th year celebration. And we really made an effort to kind of go a little bit off that beaten track and do the lake shores and the seashores and also the national historic sites. Now, this one was amazing. It blew me away. I was so impressed. The house tour, you know, FDR's family home.
And Ranger Dimitri was amazing. I mean, the guy that gave the tour of FDR's home just brought it to life for us.
He was special. He had a theater. I'm sure he had a theater background. The way that he stood.
He said he had a philosophy degree.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me either, because he had the dramatic pause down.
Well, philosophy majors are very theatrical.
Yeah. So, you know, he just had it down, and it was such an amazing experience. The boys did a ranger program, a junior ranger program.
Yeah, which was all about sort of like the Secret Service and how they protected him at the house. It was a very unique ranger program. It was good.
So I loved it. At the end, I felt so inspired. I felt so, amazed, and like it was, I was
and
so
you're
glad
getting two for one there, because the house is there, which is worth the time and the tour. And then the FDR Presidential Library is basically right next door. And you could easily do an 8-hour day there. I mean, we didn't stay that long, but the library was awesome.
We would have liked to have spent more time in the library, but the kids who had been super good up until that point needed lunch, and they needed it then.
And we had lunch there, and the food was good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is it was an all-in-one trip there.
Yeah.
And we were staying at the Lazy River Jellystone in Gardner, New York, and that worked well as a jumping-off point to get to Hyde Park. All right, now let's go out to the shores of Lake Michigan. And that was quite a wonderful trip going to Sleeping Bear Dunes. So basically, what was your Sleeping Bear Dunes highlight?
Well, SUPing on Lake Michigan. And that is, I think, I didn't go back and see what our highlights were from last year. I didn't go back to remind myself. But I have a feeling that zip lining with the boys was on that list for me. And this is my experience this year as a parent. There is no greater joy for me than when I get to actually enjoy something with my kids. Like when we are doing something that is truly thrilling and fun. Not like I'm teaching them how to do something and I'm pretending to have fun while I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Or like going down to their level, like, yeah, playing soccer, but not totally playing soccer, playing kids soccer, you know? This was like, oh my gosh, I was having a blast. And Theo in particular really took to it. He loved it. He could have done it for hours and hours and hours, and so could I. It was like a real bonding experience.
Yeah, and we had done the SUPs on the Grand Traverse Bay, but it was a little bit choppier and a little bit windier. So this was our second time that we did SUPs on the Michigan trip. And I think like you guys were more confident, more ready to go, and the water was calmer, and you really maximized how much fun you had.
Yeah, and I have to say, going into that the first time that we rented the stand-up paddle boards, and I've done stand-up paddle boarding years ago, you know, like we've grown up around the water. I have a friend who owned them and we used to go out on the river. But, you know, I didn't know how this would take with my kids. I'm renting them. I don't know what they're going to think, if they're going to be bored. If, you know, it's like you rent some of these things and then the kids are like done in 3 seconds. You have to do things because you never know what's going to stick. How would I have known that SUPing would have been something that the boys would have been like, this is awesome. And Wes was on that SUP too with me. He sat there for ages while I paddled around.
And with a toy hauler in the future, there are also going to be SUPs in the future.
Yeah, because I love it. To me, I love it more than kayaking, really. I love SUPing. So I know.
Well, it's a better workout, I think. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay, it's not really your last travel highlight because we have both had so many and we had to trim down our list for the sake of time. But what's number five for you? It's actually a campground. And then interestingly enough, I also picked one campground. So what was your campground that was a travel highlight?
I don't know. It's so hard to narrow it down to five. So I don't know if I just picked and choose. I tried to pick like different types of things, but I picked number five. I picked Normandy Farms Campground in Massachusetts. And the reason why I picked this was because truly I do think that this is a model for the resort camping experience.
I mean, it is.
For me.
I mean, in the industry, people do look at it as a model for what a resort campground can be and should be.
And can I say, one of the reasons why I think that that's the case is not because it had better of everything than many other resort campgrounds that we've been to, because we've been to a lot of resort campgrounds. These are on trend in the industry, and I believe that they're only going to become more prevalent and more popular as camping and campgrounds go more mainstream. So the reason why is because it didn't have the most of everything. It had just the right amount. I mean, it really managed. For me, I get a little overwhelmed by the campgrounds that are like super crazy activities all the time.
But you also liked how well-trained the young staff were and how they organized everything and kind of monitored everything in a way that made it so family-friendly and not out of control.
Everything was so ship-shape. Everything spot on. It was like everybody was trained well. Everything was supervised. So your kids weren't like, well, I want to play Gaga Ball or I want to play with the shuffleboard or the horseshoes, but there's no one around making sure that, you know, one kid isn't bullying all the other kids there or whatever, which is, it happens a lot. So it just was not, there was not a hair out of place on this campground, and I loved it, and it hit the right note for me.
One thing we've noticed at some larger resort-type campgrounds is that, sadly, a lot of parents don't monitor their kids. And I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-dud, but you can end up with sort of packs of kids at the Gaga Ball court or at the playground or in the pool. And they get rowdy, as kids do, as we did when we were kids. At Normandy Farms, there was kind of someone at every station to some degree, keeping things the way they should be for a family.
Yeah, and they had, you know, when before we went there, we knew that in some of the reviews people said, oh, there's a lot of rules there, whatever. I even thought that they hit the right tone in terms of signage. Like, there's some places where the signs, you feel like they're shouting at you. And I just felt like in Normandy Farms, the signs were like, remember, campers, you have to be have your bikes back at your site by 7 p.m. Like, and it was just said in a friendly way. Like, they weren't scared to have rules. And I like a campground that's not scared to have rules. I'm good with that because I think, you know, I'm an elementary school teacher.
I'm a high school teacher.
Rules make a difference.
It does make a difference. And when I hear people in a review say, oh, there were so many rules here, and people are going negative with that, I usually read it in the opposite way. Yeah. Like, okay, that's
like, we'll probably like it here.
Yeah, we'll probably like it here. I mean, it can be overdone, but I don't want people drinking and partying at 2 in the morning when I have little kids who are trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much, Stephanie, for your top 5 travel highlights of 2016.
Now over to you, Jeremy.
And now for the star of the show. No, so you started.
Oh, I was your opening act.
Yeah. Never. So you started in Charleston. I think I'll start in Charleston too. And I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to combine Fort Moultrie and Fort Sumter.
Say, I told our listeners that you would find a way to sneak in an extra.
You could do them both in a day. I would not recommend doing them both in the same day. I think that would be a crazy day. But if you're pinched for time, I think it's possible. But they are, to me, a pair. They're so intricately connected and yet so different. And both of them were amazing. I'm kind of becoming a little bit of a Civil War buff. I think the first shots in the Civil War were fired at Fort Sumter, correct?
Yeah, and you have to take a boat out to Fort Sumter.
So it's
that's
a beautiful
part
ride
of the
over,
whole yeah, experience.
Over to Sumter, and you get a limited time over there, but it was plenty of time to see the whole fort, to walk down onto the beach there. And just the history is fascinating, and you're seeing the city behind you. It's gorgeous. Then Moultrie is on the beach, on the mainland. It's a very, very different fort. It actually has a much longer, more complicated history. But taken together, they're both really fascinating parts of Charleston's Civil War history.
I think you should do it opposite of the way that we did it. And
yes.
You do Fort Moultrie first because it has that older history. And it kind of like the way it's
the
set
Civil
up,
War.
Yeah, it kind of explains some of that to you. So if you go to Fort Moultrie and then you go to Fort Sumter and then do the walking tour in Charleston, because we actually did it the exact opposite. We did walking tour in Charleston, then Fort Sumter, and then Fort Moultrie. And I feel like we were going like back in history, and all of a sudden things would make sense to us. We'd be like, oh.
Yeah, and you can see Sumter from Moultrie and from Charleston. When you're on Moultrie, you can see Sumter. When you're on Sumter, they point to Moultrie, but it's
you
not.
You don't get it. Really.
It's not well defined, really. Mm-hmm. So if you're a history buff of any kind, Charleston's so rich in Civil War history. And I really enjoyed both of those, and so did the boys. Okay, so my second travel highlight, my second and third, we're going to go to that Michigan trip, our Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore trip. We made so many great memories there. Tubing the Platte River has to be one of the coolest experiences in all of American camping. So we stayed at the Platte River Campground, and it's either a short little drive or a walk to some of the different launching points for the Platte River. The Platte River is warm, it's crystal clear, it's fun, it's mellow, it's not too deep, it's safe for the kids, and it's a long ride that takes you all the way out to the chillier waters of Lake Michigan, and you literally end your ride being dropped off into Lake Michigan.
Yeah, and you had a very nice time as you took off with Wesley sitting in your tube, right? And you guys just went off, whereas I got trapped behind with the 2 7-year-olds.
Max and Theo had like a cranky day. It kills me to even say this. Look, you'd think that I was being totally fair, taking the little guy Wesley. Wesley was a dream. He sat in my lap and we just floated on out.
Well, what happened
Max
was
Max and Theo kept getting stuck, and they were being so like cranky about it.
Because here's the thing, they were grossed out by the like gooky reeds, but their tubes.
And the reeds are not even that gooky.
But the tubes kept getting like stuck in the gooky reeds, and they had to get out of the tube to pull it out. But they were being like,
so they wouldn't get out. They were making you save them every time. And so Stephanie like was totally did not have a great day with that, and it kind of like I swear I almost didn't didn't put it on my list.
Because you
there
know.
Was, well, there was family drama that day. And everybody out there knows you can do something amazing and wonderful. And if it's just like the family's not in the right psychological place
for
it.
But I have to say, once I finally got them out of, like, we had a couple of bad spots. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Jeremy's gone. And I'm sitting here dragging these 2 7-year-olds. What ended up happening was I had them to, leashed to my tube. And I paddled. I had to paddle because it wasn't like strong enough to just take me leashed with them. I was like, I'm working out. Like, this is a workout. There's a difference. And I got into like the mode and they kind of calmed down and the end was pretty fun. And it is an example of one of those things that people, if you have bad travel experiences in retrospect, they're not going to seem that bad. They're going to seem like funny stories or kind of like, oh, content. Yeah, that was fun. Like,
but it was such a beautiful river. Right? It was such a long,
gorgeous,
relaxing. I mean, this is a classic thing to do in Michigan.
Yeah.
It's a classic camping activity.
So I'm glad you had a nice time.
I know we have some podcast listeners out there who have reserved spots at the Platte River Campground, and I'm sure they're going to tube the Platte River. Now, I think this next one I loved even more than tubing the Platte River. I think this was my top highlight from Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. In fact, I know it is. It's called the Empire Bluff Trail. It's 1.5 miles round trip. It's the elevation's pretty mellow. It's a little bit rocky. It's shaded. It's just a nice hike. And then you emerge and you have this incredible panoramic view of Lake Michigan. And you're up pretty high. I don't know. How high are you up there?
I don't know. I mean, I would say 400 feet.
Yeah, you're up pretty high. The dunes drop off really steeply down to Lake Michigan, but you get these astonishing views. And I just had so much fun taking pictures here. It was absolutely astonishingly beautiful and such an easy hike, such a mellow hike to get to such a dramatic view.
Yeah, I want to add in that you said it's 1.5 mile round trip. That's if you go out to that observation deck and go back. But really, you can keep going, which is important to know because we were not prepared to keep going because it was hot and we hadn't brought like lots and lots of extra water. So the water was, you know, running out. But the boys, that was tricky because the boys wanted to keep walking because you literally can go for as long as you want to go.
You could just walk for miles. Soaking in that view. I mean, you could have 3 miles just on that trail looking out at Lake Michigan. And like the photo I put up on Instagram this week, it's just one of the most beautiful views in America.
And the boys wanted to keep going. And I was like, no, because we don't have water. Like we have to go back.
Sleeping Bear Dunes had been named in recent years as the most beautiful place in America by Good Morning America 1 year. And it's because of views like this and hikes like this. And it really is one of the great RV vacations in the country. So I have two there.
Yeah.
Now,
what's next?
I have a campground as well. The Skudik Woods Campground, which is a brand new NPS campground in Acadia National Park on the mainland section of Acadia National Park. The land was purchased and the campground was developed by a private benefactor and no one knows who they are. So it's a brand new RV-friendly, like modern RV-friendly, big rig-friendly national park campground with water and electric, super huge, gorgeous shaded sites, delicious smelling pine trees, a lovely amphitheater with ranger programs every night. It was a little slice of heaven to me. I mean, out of all the campgrounds we went to last year, this made the strongest impression. And I think it's so interesting that you picked Normandy Farms and I picked Skudik Woods because it just goes back to the fact that RVFTA, we love both. I mean, we love national park campgrounds and we love the resort style campgrounds. You don't have to pick one way of camping or another. You don't have to get pizza every Friday night. You can do pizza one Friday night and Chinese the next.
You actually make us do pizza every Friday night. I'm going to say that to you next time. I'm not in the mood for pizza.
I know a lot of our listeners are like private campground people or public campground people. And I just have to say, I'm so glad that we really love both and we get both experiences.
Yeah, but we're like that with all of our travel. We love country. We love city. We really are. We really love all different kinds of travel experience. And other people, you know they like pizza. That's what they want. So that's okay. All right. So what's last? What'd you pick last?
The new African American Smithsonian Museum, to me, is the gem on the mall in Washington, D.C. It's my favorite Smithsonian Museum. It's brand new. The building is gorgeous. the history is profoundly, profoundly interesting. You go down into the basement, two floors underground, and it starts the story of the African-American experience, and you feel like you're in a slave ship, and you work your way up to the present, floor by floor by floor. You go all the way up to the sixth floor, which is about art and culture, in the kind of those elevated things. And it just tells the story of the African-American experience in this incredibly moving and profound way. I mean, you really feel like you are moving through history as you tour this museum. And we were lucky just to get tickets.
We did. We went on Thanksgiving morning, which what better way to spend a Thanksgiving day than really, you know, just being so thankful that our country has come to where it is now, as opposed to where we've been, and really to have that experience and sort of meditate on that a little bit on Thanksgiving morning. So for me, that was a very special travel experience.
And the boys were so – we were there for 4 hours, and people were saying that they were spending the whole day there. Like, there were people spending 10 to 12 hours at the museum. We got 4 hours with, you know, a 3-year-old and 2 7-year-olds. And the boys were so good.
Oh, because they were engaged.
They were engaged. They were interested. And it just meant the world to me to go mm-hmm. there to see that museum. And we didn't even do 2 of the 6 floors, to be honest, in those
right.
4 hours.
No, we had to make choices. You always do when you're doing those things with smaller kids. If we had been there just with us, we probably would have had lunch, had a cup of coffee at the cafeteria, and gone right back. You know,
and they serve kids coffee, and they have cuisine from different
African-American
cuisine from different regions. Mm-hmm. It's authentic. It's good. The price is not too bad. So if you go, plan on eating there. That was a good part of the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So my 5, your 5. All right. But now we're not done yet, because we're not the only ones in this little RVFTA world, are we?
we tried to get the Rugrats on the show.
You know, they won't do it. So what we did, they just will not come on the podcast. And that's okay. So what we did was we actually sat down and we kind of interviewed them and we questioned them, and they gave us their top experiences from the year. And then we also kind of questioned you and threw it out there, and we got some responses from you guys also. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back, and we're going to share those.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 3 of our 2016 travel highlights. We're going to talk about Maxwell's picks, Theodore's picks, and Wesley's picks. And then we're going to hear some listener picks, your travel highlights from 2016. Let's start with young 3-year-old Wes. I like to call him the Wes man. So we asked Wesley what his travel highlights were, and he said, water slides at Yogi Bear.
He didn't even hesitate.
Oh, no.
And he had heard his brothers giving their responses. He was not swayed.
He took no truck with that.
He wasn't listening to any of their stuff. He was like, water slides at Yogi Bear.
It was definitive. It was his definitive top pick. Now, his
going
second,
down on your lap on water
we
slides.
We did the end. Boy, oh boy.
Was actually what he said, yeah.
We probably did that about 342 times. Now, his second travel highlight was really kind of interesting. He said water mountains.
Yeah.
We don't know what he meant, but he was really adamant that his second travel highlight was spending time on water mountains.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Waterfalls? I mean, it could be waterfalls.
Could be waterfalls.
That he
could
really
be climbing
waterfalls.
Up to the water slides.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not just the water slides, but like all of those water parks that we went to.
Could
like all the Jellystone.
Could be he's just messing with us. Could be he's messing
he's like,
with us.
He's like, watch this, guys.
His third pick, okay, sitting in mom and dad's lap during campfires. Aw.
Yeah, right. I
too
know.
Cute.
Cue totally the single teardrop squeezing out of my eye.
I do love cuddling up with that little guy around a campfire. Good times, good memories. Now, his last two picks, interestingly enough, basketball at the campground and soccer at the campground. Now, what's interesting about this is we played a lot of soccer at the campground.
Yeah.
But we never played basketball.
Well, don't say never. We did. I played basketball with him at Gardner, New York, because the boys were playing Gaga ball right there at the Jellystone.
Now I remember.
Yeah. And
now I remember.
There was the basketball court that was right there. And so the Gaga ball court was like full of bigger boys, and he just could not play. And so there was the basketball court right next to there. So I actually spent a lot of time with Wes there at that basketball court. So maybe that
made
left
an
a
impression,
mark.
Mom. Maybe it was those thunder dunks you were throwing down.
Yeah, he got some of my moves.
Hey, Wes, alley-oop.
I know. I was like, watch me beat you in horse.
All right, Theodore. And he hates being called Theodore, but I just called him that. Sorry, Theo, if you hear this. All right, so laser tag. We played laser tag at the Quarryville Jellystone and at the Lazy River Jellystone. And boy, oh boy, that almost made my list too. And honestly, I left it out because he put it on his list. Laser tag at both those places was really, really fun. Really
yeah.
good family fun.
This is the first year that we really did this with them. And we'd done it one time prior. But this was like the year that we were like, okay, you guys are at the age where laser tag's fun. And if we're at a campground with laser tag, we'll do it with you. So we really did it a lot this year. And if you have kids that are in that 7, 8, 9, 10, like, if you want your kids to want to go camping with you, go somewhere with laser tag, like, because they love
and
it.
And I give both of these Jellystones all the credit in the world for keeping the price really low. I think it was like $5 to $7
yeah.
per person for an hour of laser tag. And it was really, really worth it. And we had so much fun. And I was like yelling and screaming like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, all the dads really like to get their youth back on.
Well, I would go on the suicide runs where when things got close, I would just run across the field screaming and like shooting 360 degrees all around. And, you know, it was awesome.
I'm sure that was very impressionable. All right. So, yeah.
Theo also loved whale watching in Cape Cod and the dune buggy tours in Cape Cod, the Arts dune buggy tours. So those were on our lists as well, our shared list. So clearly those were family experiences that mattered a great deal. They both loved the climbing wall in James Island County Park Campground.
Yeah, so the James Island County State Park, the county park, the campground there was actually Theo's favorite campground, he told me, of the year when I asked him that. I was asking him some of their favorites. And this climbing wall was amazing in this county park. Everything about this campground was amazing. This does appear on people's like top picks for campgrounds.
It's awful
and it
close
should.
To Scudic Woods for me.
Oh, yeah.
Awful close.
This campground was,
idyllic. I mean, it was almost a perfect campground.
Yeah. So definitely put this on your list if it's not on there already. The boys love the climbing wall.
From Sleeping Bear Dunes, they loved the dune climb. And of course, that is so much fun for kids to climb up those huge dunes and kind of run and jump off of them. We even went back on a rainy day. They had
they
so much fun the first
time. Because they had to go back and it was raining and they were like, who cares? And I was like, okay. So we actually pulled into the parking lot and they ran around in the rain on the dunes for over an hour at least. It was amazing.
Now, Theo's favorite meal.
Yeah, I asked them. I said, what was your favorite?
Good for you for asking that, Mom. The Early Bird Diner in Charleston.
Didn't hesitate.
Waffle and chickens.
Yeah.
And chickens.
Chicken and waffles.
Just by changing it around, it's so silly, it's right? So can I have the waffle and chickens?
Oh my God.
Next time we go there, I'm going to order that.
I can't recover. Okay. He did not blink. He said the Early Bird Diner. They loved the Early Bird Diner so much. They couldn't believe it. This is in the road food book in Charleston area. You cannot go to the Charleston area without eating at the Early Bird Diner. It's amazing.
It was one of the best breakfasts on planet Earth. Max's highlights. Max was really into the Ranger talks. I mean, Theo and Max both were, but Max even maybe to another level. And his favorite Ranger talk of the year was at the Platte River Campground. It was the Ranger talk on weasels. And it was an awesome Ranger talk. It was really, really funny. There was multimedia, lots of humor, funny clips online, great photographs. I think it was my favorite Ranger talk too, now that I think of it.
I enjoyed relaxing back at the campground.
Yeah, Mom skipped a few of the Ranger talks.
Yeah, that's okay, because Mom needs a little bit of quiet time every once in a while to restore sanity. I really do.
Now, Max's next travel highlight. I'm really glad he mentioned the Jayco tour, which was on my extended list, and it was painful to cut off. So we did the Jayco factory tour in Middlebury, Indiana. And I think it really made an impression on Max, watching the RVs being built, also knowing that we have a working relationship with Jayco, and it's sort of like the mothership for us to go there and visit everybody and say hello to everybody and see the RVs being built. So I'm glad he put that on there.
Yeah, and I also think that this is one of those factory, I think parents of kids, again, at this age group, factory tours of all kinds. Remember we went to like the Cabot Cheese Factory and like things like that are just really captivating for so many of our kids that don't see things made anymore, right? Like there are things being made all over America.
And, look, and RVs are made in America.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
Kids don't see things being built because maybe a lot of us don't live in factory areas or manufacturing areas.
I just kind of realized, like, the RV industry does not, like, pump up the fact that they're manufacturing in America. I guess it's almost like it's a given, right? But, yeah. I mean, these products that we love so much are made out there in the Midwest, in America.
Yeah, so I like that he chose that. And I also think that we will be continuing to try to find those, like, tour type experiences for them in the future, because it really does help them imagine all of the things that people do out there in life.
Max also picked Moomer's Ice Cream. Traverse City, Michigan, voted best ice cream in America by USA Today, and they were right.
Well, this is the first time our boys have ever done that, like, wistful thinking about a previous trip, because after we returned back from Michigan, we'd be sitting there like doing whatever on whatever night, and one of them would make a joke like, can we just go get some Moomer's ice cream?
If we went to our local ice cream dump, they practically treated it like a dump.
Like, whatever.
It's not Moomer's. I mean, we have a great ice cream place here, Hoffman's, a great local ice cream place where they make the ice cream on site. Not good enough for Max and Theo after going to Moomer's.
Yeah, they were like, it's not Moomer's. And
get
it was like, they would really sit there and say, oh, anything for a Moomer's ice cream.
And they love the fact that the holiday park in Traverse City, Michigan, you could buy the little pints of Moomer's, right?
Yes.
So they enjoyed that too. Max also loved the climbing wall at James Island County Park. He also loved biking at Scudic Woods Campground because there was freshly paved roads, and he learned to ride with no hands.
No hands. He said, that was the smoothest road ever, and I never would have learned how to ride with no hands if we weren't on those smooth roads.
And
he
just
didn't
a little bit
skip
of,
a beat.
Just a little bit of kind of hills, a little bit of up and down there, which was really great for the bike riding too.
And we say that paved roads at campgrounds for biking for kids will, again, if you're one of those parents that's trying to draw your kids into camping, that's a little thing. Remember last year we did that show on like reflections from like 30 something days on the road, and I really shared things that I did never realize were so important to me.
Paved roads.
And paved roads were one of them, just for the biking aspect.
Well, one of our local campgrounds that we go to two or three times a year has those sandy roads, right? And they're awful for bike riding. The kids are always crashing their bikes and sliding around.
Wiping out all the time because they hit a sand pit.
Or it's dusty and gross. Max's favorite meal, the wicked tuna, which was a wicked meal, man. That was one
delicious.
Of the best meals we have ever had. And right outside of Myrtle Beach, what was the neighborhood that's
in? So it's Merle's Inlet, right? And it is it has like the marsh walk, boardwalk. That's right there. There's so many restaurants, but we talk about this in the Triller Life article. Like, this is the special night out restaurant if you want to choose one of those, because yes, the price tag is going to be a little bit high, but it is a special dinner, and you can sit right there out on the deck and look over the
view of the
beautiful marsh and the sun setting. And
great,
it's
sushi, great
gorgeous.
Steaks, great
but
seafood.
They actually have their own fleet of boats that goes out every day, and it catches the fish and it brings the fish in and they prepare it. So you are eating the fish that was caught by the restaurant's boats every day, and their sushi too. It was phenomenal food, but it was also just that really romantic, special experience. And it was the first time that the boys ordered dessert off of a dessert tray, and they loved that, and they thought it was so fancy.
So did I. Now it's time for some listener highlights from 2016. So we just put up a social media post and said, hey, what were your travel highlights from 2016? We got some great ones. So, and all these people are good to follow too, by the way, on Instagram. So Making Something Happy, she said, accidentally driving up Colorado's $1 million highway with a 35-foot travel trailer. That was one of her highlights.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show that
in retrospect,
when you get a good story out of something that's kind of stressful at the time, it can actually become a travel highlight. I get exactly what you mean.
All right. Kate Dunbar said the Grand Canyon. Canyon and Williams, Arizona. She loved that trip.
And Kate from Kate's Curious Kitchen did a great podcast episode about the campground that she stayed at right outside of the Grand Canyon. I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but it's one of our campgrounds of the week. She did a great job with that. Next, RV California said Catalina and Sisters, Oregon. Both sounds good.
And InTown Campground said camping at the InTown Campground.
And boy, oh boy, go follow
them. Big congratulations.
Big congratulations. Go follow them on Instagram. The campground looks beautiful. They had a vision for that campground and they made it reality. Like, I think a lot of times we all have visions for things that we want to build or create or whatever, and we might come close. I think they exceeded their vision for what they wanted this to be. The campground looks gorgeous. Follow them on Instagram.
And Carrie Cox from Travels with Birdie said canoeing on Jenny Lake in the Grand Tetons, Badlands, and a state park all to themselves on Thanksgiving.
And so Hoopla, who is a recent winner of our RVFTA ornament contest, by the way, congratulations, sir, for that. Snorkeling at Dry Tortugas, sliding rock at Tallulah Gorge, hiking Beehive with the kids, you brave woman,
Cuckoo.
You. Stephanie and I did it on our own with no kids. Yeah, that's awesome that you did that
that's
with your
great.
Kids. That's
yeah.
something to be proud of. And I promise you, you're all going to remember that for the rest of your lives. And lamplight tours at Mammoth Cave. Lots of great highlights for So Hoopla.
And Flying Ham Rental said traveling from Nashville to Glacier National Park with our 16-foot camper.
They have a cool Instagram feed, too. Like, they do rentals of vintage RVs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to check them out a little bit more, see what they're up to. It seems pretty interesting. Casita Dean.
I think he's kissing up.
Casita Dean said his podcast debut on RVFTA.
No,
oh,
no he didn't say that.
I'm sorry. I misread
his 12-day trip with the girls, i.e. his two daughters, to the RVFTA spring rally. That was so great to meet Casita
Dean. Oh, it was nice
Dean
to meet Casita Dean and
Laura.
Yeah, definitely. They're very nice people. We hope to have Casita Dean back on the show. Wine at the Beach said visiting the Florida Keys, having a perfect beach day at Bahia Honda State Park, spending hours in the ocean in Myrtle Beach, and I got you on that one, we did that too, seeing a sea turtle lay her eggs in Hilton Head, and doing the Cave of the Wind tours in Niagara Falls. That's, boy, did you have
fun,
a busy
yeah.
year of RVing. Sounds like a lot of fun.
And Beer Cram, Acadia National.
I think it was Bear Cram.
Bear Cram. Oh, not yet. Beer Cram. Sorry. About
Beer Cram sounds like, I got a cram of beer.
I got a cram of beer. All right. Acadia National Park for the 100th anniversary.
And
we were there too.
We were there on the day of the 100th
yeah,
anniversary.
Yeah, that we got the, that was our ornament for our tray this year.
And Nuke 63 said the road trip to Tennessee to pick up my new Tab camper. Woohoo. That's pretty awesome. And I know you've been enjoying that Tab camper. Cape Cod National Seashore. What's not to love? Several home state trips to Turkey Swamp and Camp Taylor in the Delaware Water Gap region.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 122, our top travel highlights of 2016. We want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money when you're out there on the road seeing the sights? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV to learn more.
And thank you also to Cabela's and the Thetford Corporation for sponsoring this great RV content that you love so much, or at least we hope that you love so much. You do love us, don't you? All right, big announcement in the world of RVFTA. We are going to be adding another day where we are guaranteeing content, okay? We're going to be adding another sort of a show, but it's different than a podcast.
All right. You know that we've been hanging out with Go RVing on Facebook Live chats a few times this year, and we decided to throw that into our mix because, you know, we do these podcasts and they're an hour long, and what we really miss being able to cram in is all of the letters we get from you, questions that people ask, things that come up on our forum. We really want a time that's set apart that we can kind of just do like all of the random news.
Content overflow.
Yeah. We can never fit those
people
things
always
in.
Say, how do you guys do these podcasts every week? And we're always like, we have more that we want to do.
Yeah. We, you know, if we do these full content, you know, rich episodes, we can't fit in letters from people that write us and questions that people have or things that we come
reviews
up. We just can't do
of
it.
Different programs on TV that are related to RVing or travel or book reviews. There's just so many things like that we always want to do and we always shove to the side.
Yeah. So we are introducing RVFTA Live, which is going to be every Friday, at least during the off travel season, not during
it's
the gonna travel
season. It's going to be Fridays when the boys are in school. Yeah. This is going to be so directly tied to their school year.
Right.
So RVFTA Live is going to happen at 3 o'clock on Fridays, and it's going to end around 3:30 at the latest, because we're going to have to run to get the kids off the bus.
Yeah. So 3 o'clock Eastern time, Friday afternoon.
Facebook Live. It's going to be a Facebook Live.
Now, if on our Facebook page.
On our first Facebook page. You can jump on and you can comment. You can chat with us. That's another thing. It's like live. We're chatting with you right there. If you have questions, so you can do that.
You can also email us any questions ahead of time, or Facebook inbox us ahead of time with any questions you have, or anything even about that week's episode or the week before that you wanted to follow up on. It'll be a really good time for us to chat about the content and the questions that we get in the follow-up.
And to connect with our listeners. Like, yeah. We can't chat with you back and forth during a podcast. It just doesn't work that way. But Facebook Live will allow us to interact with you guys.
And we love doing that.
We had so much fun doing it with Gore Ving. And if you're not there at 3 o'clock to watch it live, it'll be sitting on our Facebook page. You can watch it all weekend. We'll also review all of the content we've put out that week. Okay, so we'll do a quick summary of what was on Girl Camper, what was on Campground of the Week, what was on RVFTA, any articles we put out there, et cetera, et cetera. Now, because we're doing this on Friday, we are going to shuffle the release dates of two of the podcasts. So you're going to get 4 straight days of content from us. So Janine is going to stay on Tuesday with Girl Camper, correct, Stephanie?
Yep.
Campground of the Week is going to move to Wednesday. Okay, it's Thursday right now. It's going to move to Wednesday. RVFTA, RV Family Travel Atlas, which we drop every Friday morning, is going to move to Thursday morning. And then the Facebook Live will be on Friday. So we're going to have content for you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Right, yeah. So it'll be fun. We always like to do something new, and a new podcast didn't make the cut.
And we want the RVFTA Live to be sort of fast and loose and funny and just kind of spontaneous,
yeah.
too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we want to get in all these other things that we're not getting in, but we also want, like, you know, the podcast content is so refined and so sharpened and so researched.
Well, all right. Keep going, buddy. You're going a little
yeah,
far.
Yeah, RVFTA Live is going to be like, all right, what do we want to talk about today?
Yeah, we're going to wing it every Friday. We're going to see anything that is interesting to us from that week is going to make it. And this podcast is not like this. This podcast gets put on the schedule over a month in advance, and we really know the content that's going in it, and we find the experts for it. So, you know, our Facebook Live, our RVFTA Live, is just going to be whatever is on our mind at that time, and we're really, really excited
about
that.
Yeah, Stephanie's going to juggle. And I'm going to tell bad jokes.
I haven't juggled in years. But you know what? I'm not
bad. I haven't told a bad joke in years.
All right. Everybody, we will talk to you
and
next
what day is this day being? What day?
Oh, January 6th.
January 6th. So during that week, we're also going to have the reshuffled release. And I don't think those reshuffled release dates for the podcast are going to matter too much to anybody.
No, you can listen
to
whatever you want.
Because if you love listening to us on Friday, it's going to be there waiting for you on Friday. It just will have been dropped the day before.
All right, everybody. A very, very happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and we wish you great adventures for 2017, and we'll be right along there with you for the ride.
All right, see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.